I want to share some things today from my heart about the cost of following God. There's a part of when you start to follow God, you become intimate with Him and you chase after Him. And as you hunger for more of Him, He begins to expect more from you. If you haven't noticed that about God, that whenever you think you've given enough, He wants more. The word is true when it says He's a jealous God, that He really wants all of our life. He wants us to participate with Him in seeing the world one to Him. But there's a path when you begin to devote your life to Him, especially through praying in the Holy Ghost, that you begin to find Him asking for more and more of your life. That's because He believes that you can do it. It's because He knows you're ready for it. And it's also because for you to walk in all that He has for you, He needs you to go that far with Him. Well, one of the costs that happens when you begin to go through that path is that you find yourself sometimes not with a large group around you. And sometimes it can be very lonely. And I want to share about that a bit today, the ability to stand, how important it is to stand with Christ. And as the price becomes more, when God begins to ask for more holiness, for more of your time, more of your heart, more of your money, you'll find that many Christians slow down their walk with God. Not that they're not saved or He's not pleased with them, or that you're any better than they are, but they slow down. They're maybe not ready to pay the price. But I've noticed in my own life, especially when I was younger, there's a large group of us that started serving God together. And as God began to speak to me about more holiness, it began a little bit of a separation bit by bit with the friends that I loved and were walking with, and a little bit more all the time, a separation, because He was very determined to walk with me into all that He had with me. And the times when I thought, well, I'll just slow down and let my friends catch up, He was determined to keep me moving forward and to help really set an example, I think, for others to follow. And so on this walk with God, sometimes you look around and you realize, wow, I don't have a large crowd of people walking with me. If we look to the numbers of people to find success, then we're looking in the wrong place. The place you know, the way you know you're successful with God is, are you being obedient to His voice? Are you personally doing what He's asked you to do? And there's many times when we follow God in obedience that there's a struggle because others around us maybe not see what we're doing or why we're doing it, and we're just doing our best to follow God. And that causes us to grow up and to mature to where Jesus is who we look to. Jesus is our strength and our hope, not so much the crowds of people around us. Many churches today count their success by how many people attend their service, how many friends they have on social media. But true success is being in the will of God for you personally, being where God wants you to be at this moment. And if you look around and you find that there's only a few people around you that believe in you, or maybe no one, then you're in a good spot. You're in the right place, because that tells you that as you follow God in those places, that very few people are willing to go there or aren't ready to go there. And you might be the trailblazer, the one to go ahead to show them that it can be done. And then hopefully and prayerfully they'll be encouraged to follow you down that path of the Spirit. I want to read today out of Acts. We'll start here, Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And we're talking about the cost of following God and the price that we pay sometimes, and to be encouraged when it seems like we're alone or there's very few that are with us, to be encouraged. The crowds are not a sign of success with God. What's a sign of success with God is, are you obeying the voice of God in your life? And again, we don't judge other people where they're at, because He's speaking to them and encouraging them. And He's such a wonderful encourager, God, that someone may slow way down. I remember as a youth pastor, I'd always had a hard time guessing who would be successful in the future. And I was always shocked who ended up really hungering for God. Some of the ones who I thought would fail ended up being amazingly successful. in serving God. I had one young man who was a drug addict and a troublemaker, and he got born again and started to serve God, but was still a troublemaker. And years later, the Christian kids who started off as being raised in Christian homes were doing okay, but this young man ended up being a pastor and working with homeless people and giving his whole life, devoting his whole life to God. So your past and your upbringing really can't tell you where you're going to end up, but your personal walk with God will help you to always go further and further with God. And don't be discouraged as you go further into God and you find out there's less people walking with you. Be encouraged that you're not alone, that Jesus is with you. And be encouraged that you're setting a path for others to follow and to grow up in God. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul because he went through something similar. And we'll start over here in Acts chapter 15, verse 34. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. So this John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas, and he was with Paul and Barnabas on a previous journey. And then when things got difficult, we don't know the whole story, but Mark, John called Mark, disappeared. He stopped walking with them. And so when they went to go on another mission, the two of them, understand, Barnabas and Paul were partners at the time. The two of them were going to go on another mission, and Barnabas was determined to bring John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So Paul refused, insisted, "We don't take him." And that's part of what you understand when you're walking down this path with God. I always, at the beginning, I was excited about walking in the Spirit and praying in tongues and seeking God. But as the price got heavier, that's why it's so important that we don't just push people out, that we send them to the Holy Spirit. Because for you to finish your walk, you have to have a fight in you and the willingness to stand when things get hard. And that has to come from your time with the Holy Spirit, not just with your zeal and hunger to serve God. Because the enemy will work hard to stop you. And if you're only relying on your own strength and zeal, he'll wear that out. So we want to encourage people to spend time with God, with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will build them up and get them ready to win, and then walk them into things and situations where the enemy will try to stop you. It's not a surprise that the enemy wants to stop the work of God. And if you're in the work of God, he is planning out an attack to stop you, to discourage you, to cause you to change course, to maybe try to find an easier path, one with less fight. And many Christians take that path, and God's pleased with anyone willing to walk as far as they can. But there's a walk of God that we're on, the walk of the Holy Spirit, where you may find yourself lonely at seasons and alone or not with a large people cheering you on. And if you have a few people that believe in you and are walking beside you, I have a few friends that are, we call them the ride and die kind of friends. They're with you no matter what, no matter the hardships, no matter the failures, the struggles. God placed them in my life, and we're friends, and we walk through all the hard times together. They're not afraid to walk through hard times. And when you go through difficulties and struggles and battles and discouragement, to have that is better than any gold, any diamonds, any prize, to have a few friends walking side by side. And that was Paul's concern with John called Mark, that he had the ability to withdraw. He had the ability to stop when it got hard or he didn't like it or it was dangerous. Whatever he faced, he proved that he had the ability to stop. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. That's it. I'm not going any further. You guys go on without me. I'll pray for you. God bless you. I'll support you. I'll send a check in the mail. You go ahead. I'm stopping. And there's a price to follow God when you're walking with men like Paul. And it's a price where you're willing to lay your life down. And there's one man in Mexico. He's known for raising the dead. And many people go down there to try to be with him, to walk in miracles. And he takes them into witchcraft areas and to treacherous places because he is like that. That's in his heart to go to those places. And you don't want to just tag along unless God sent you, because you'll get nervous and you'll panic when the war starts. The war to him is what he lives for. This is him following God. Well, Paul, walking with Paul is similar, where it sounds glorious and glamorous to walk with Paul and to be with the man of God until the battle comes. And then all of a sudden, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's what happened with John Mark, was he stopped. He didn't backslide or go into sin. He just didn't show up. And there's many believers who are with you for a season on this path that they just stop showing up. They change course. They find a different path. And as I'm speaking this, I want to be careful. I'm not saying that to disparage them. I'm saying this to encourage you. See, God bless them for trying. God bless them for walking as far as they have. And praise God, we'll believe all of them will continue down the road, get hungry for more of God, and be willing to go down the path of righteousness, the path of holiness, of laying down your life. The modern church has done a very bad job of preaching the gospel when it comes to paying the price. Much of the messages in the modern church is about how you should be blessed with abundance, how you should have, God wants you rich, God wants you happy, He wants you successful, come and follow God, it'll be glorious and great. The Apostle Paul, you know, can you imagine, I'm in prison, I've been shipwrecked, I've been stoned, I've been attacked, come and follow me as I follow Christ. That's a different message. That's a message of sanctification, a message of your life is not your own, that whatever hell comes against you, and hell will come against you if you walk with Jesus. That if you grow with God to the point that God can use you, then all hell will come against you. You better be strong and better be willing to not run. If it's in someone to stop, to walk away, to say, I'm done, that's it, as far as I'm going, then that's the thing that is stopping them from continuing to walk in revival. And so as you and I are pressing in for a revival and a walk with God, don't be shocked or don't feel like you're failing because you only have a few people around you. Like I said, I look around my life and I see only a few friends that I really trust who are with me, and I'm with them through all the battles and struggles that the enemy in life throws at us. But there's many people who started and we walked together and they disappeared. It's not that they backslid. They're no longer here. They're no longer with us. Don't feel that that's failure. Be encouraged. And again, I'm not disparaging anyone who's felt they need to slow down or just find their place or for whatever reason. Because this walk of the Spirit ends up costing you your life. It costs you everything. You have to be willing to walk through whatever hell the devil wants to throw at you with the faith that you're going to be able to make it through it and survive it and be stronger on the other side. So Paul and Barnabas were so contentious. Verse 38, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Philomelia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So he ended up choosing Silas to be his partner, and they walked together. You know the story, when they ended up in prison, Silas followed Paul through all that battle, even to the place where they're both sitting right beside each other in prison. They say, you know, you have a good friend when you're in jail and they come and bail you out. And then they say, but you know, you have your best friend when you're in jail and he's there with you in jail. Well, that's Paul and Silas, that there they were in prison together. And that's when they began to worship God. And Silas didn't complain and say, oh, I can't believe I walked with you and look at us, we're in prison. I hate you, Paul. No, he said, I'm with you. Let's pray. Let's worship together. We're in this to the end. And there are people all around the world who are hungry, so hungry for God, that they're willing to go to the end of their life alone to serve God. And you're not alone. There's many other people around the world like you. They may not just be in your next house, your neighbor, but they're with you. And we're walking together into a place of revival that the devil can't stop. He can't discourage us. He can't stop us, no matter what he tries. And he will try many things, including having people turn their back and talk bad about you and try to destroy your reputation. And we forgive all of them. And we pray for all of them that they will continue getting hungry for God, and the Holy Spirit will stir up in them the desire to walk through whatever battle. Many Christians I know who came to the gospel because they were told God wants you blessed had to lay that idea aside when things got hard and the enemy resisted their blessing. But then later they were blessed. I see many people sabotage their future because in the moment they didn't have all the things they thought they wanted. I thought if I just followed God, I'd have a big ministry. And now I'm just serving in little areas. No one knows who I am. I'm going to quit. Or I thought I'd have abundance of finances or be blessed. And I find that I'm struggling. Maybe this isn't the right church or the right path. If you're going to follow God to revival, you yourself must determine that He's all you need. He's all you need. And He is all you need. God is all you need. Paul said to Timothy, let's go there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of lions. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I'm not trying to preach a downer message, a discouraging message, you know, but I want to preach a very practical and real message. It was like cold water on me and a slap to the face when circumstances didn't line up with the Word of God in my life, where things would hit me, trouble and struggles and problems, and people would stop walking with me, and we started off together, and then one by one they would slowly peel off and they just didn't show up. Again, I got a few friends who were together forever, and I know that I'm blessed beyond blessed because of that. But Paul here said, I stood and I was by myself, all alone. No one stood with me. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel that, you know, I'm really feeling alone. I'm really feeling like even second guessing. Did I make a mistake? Am I doing wrong? Why can't my family see what I'm doing? Why can't my friends see why I'm making these decisions to follow God, to lay my life down, to pray and seek Him? Why can't they see the value of it? Well, like Paul said, we don't condemn them. We forgive them. But nonetheless, you must continue moving forward. You must continue pressing in to the high call of God. Jesus said that no one who puts his hand to the plow and turns away is fit for the kingdom of God. That there's a walk with God where once you start down the path, you should never let go of that plow. You should never let go. You should follow Jesus wherever it takes you. And when the circumstances are turned against you by the enemy, when people who you thought loved you turn against you, when people who you thought were for you start to talk bad about you and stop believing in you, that's not a time to turn back. There's never a time to turn back when you get hold of the Holy Spirit and hold of Jesus. We move forward. We always move forward. and we always hold on to Him. It may seem odd, but you are actually the answer to the people who walked away. They need to see you make it. They need to see you not give up. Many people, out of their own criticism of themselves, try to turn you back because you expose them. If I put it that way, your hunger, your zeal for God, your passion for God, your pressing into holiness, your pressing into more of God, makes them question and exposes where they're at, because they want a gospel that doesn't cost them so much. There's many people, they pick their pastor by what they preach. I want a pastor that encourages me, but doesn't demand too much from me, doesn't expect too much from me. And we want them in heaven. The walk of the Spirit, those who lay their life down to seeking God and obeying God, you'll find that it costs you much. And it's not because you're special. You're not more valuable to God than someone else, but you're willing to walk with God and not let go. Mark had the ability to stop. Say, I'm done. That's enough for today. I'm done. I remember one of the times I went through a battle with the enemy. It was a personal battle. And I thought, that was hard fought. God picked a fight for me and wanted me to overcome and stand. And I took everything I could just to stand in the will of God. My emotions were screaming at me. My heart was screaming at me, it's not going to work. My insecurities were screaming at me, you're going to fail. But I was obeying God. And the one thing I didn't never do was I never ran from a fight. I always stood there. And that's kind of the message today. The authority you have to finish your course has more to do with standing than it does with fighting. I'll say it again. The authority you have to finish your course has more to do with standing than it does to do with fighting. There's many messages on how to fight and stand against the enemy and fight against the devil, to curse the devil, to break his power. I have one friend who was a preacher. He was preaching and some lady came down and got born again, and she was having problems with her emotions. He said, "Lady, you just need to curse the devil. You need to stand in faith and curse the devil." And he gave her the microphone. He said, now, in front of all these people, I want you to curse the devil. And she said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes, curse the devil." She said, "Okay." And remember, she just got saved, and she was fighting emotions of battle and depression and that. And he said, "Yeah, just curse the devil." And she had not been in church, so she didn't know what that meant. So she started to scream at the devil, "Devil, you blankety blank, you begin to use all these words, these foul words, you blankety blank blank devil, I don't want you anymore, get out of my life." And the preacher grabbed the microphone from her and said, "No, lady, I said curse the devil, not cuss the devil." And she was cussing the devil up. Well, many people turn to fight the devil. They turn to fight circumstances. But there's a stronger way as you follow God. It's called standing. Standing where God has you, no matter what circumstances say, whether you are all by yourself, or maybe you're blessed with a few friends or a few people that believe in you, or maybe you have large crowds. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're there just you and Jesus and there's no one else. Well, first of all, you've not got a better partner in the world if you're standing by Jesus. You're not in a better place or a safer place than if you're in the will of God where Jesus wants you and He's standing there. It may feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. It may feel like everyone's abandoned you. You're not abandoned. You're not abandoned. You're not a victim. You're never a victim. You are an overcomer. So I want to read out of Ephesians chapter 6 today. We don't want to be people who can change course. See, the moment you allow yourself to change direction that God puts you on, and it can be the type where God tells you to do something. I want you to live like this. I want you to move here. I want you to serve like this. I want you to go to this church. I want you to pray. And then you don't hear anything for sometimes years. You don't hear any other direction. I always say that if you're asking God and He's not answering you, "God, I'm asking you now, what do I do next? What do I do next? I'm ready. Give me something next, God. Where do I go? Things are hard. What am I doing wrong? And God's not speaking to you. You don't hear anything in those moments. When that happens, God's telling you something. He's telling you to keep doing what I told you to do. That's not the time to choose to change course. It's not the time to change course when something doesn't go your way, when you're not satisfied, when you're not happy. We live by a walk of obedience. That means we never make a decision by opportunity or out of frustration. I'm just so frustrated here, I'm going to fix it. Or opportunity. Look, there's a nice shiny door opened up. The devil trains Christians by putting pressure on them. Financial pressure, health pressure, emotional pressure, struggles, loneliness. And then that all that pressure is there to get you to question, are you in the will of God? Because if you're in the will of God, shouldn't we be happy and blessed with abundance of money and excited and everything's great? And as you walk in the Spirit, you find out there's seasons, like Paul talked about, where you're alone, where you're by yourself, where there's no one else there. I want to give you one more verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8. In fact, let's just read in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. This is not to be a downer of a message about, yeah, follow God, you're going to go through hard times. This is to be an encouraging message that says, if you're going through hard times, it may not be because you're doing something wrong or you're failing. It may be because you're doing everything right. And take courage in what God's spoken to you, and take courage in the path that you're on, because God can make great, great things in your future because you've been willing to follow Him and not run. Too many Christians run when it gets hard, and they justify it by saying, well, I should be blessed. If I was following God, I'd be blessed and not have all this struggle. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe there's an easier path. And right then, right in the midst of your turmoil and your struggle and your battle, a nice shiny door opens up. And someone says, oh, praise God, God opened the door that no man could shut. And it's not God that opened the door, it's the enemy. And what he's done is he built a pocket of pressure and attack on your life and then opened up an escape route. But that escape route is taking you out of the will of God for your life. God is your answer, not better circumstances. And many Christians give God glory for something the enemy's done. And the path they're on won't take them to hell. But it means they left the will of God trying to find an easier path. There's no better path than the one that God put you on. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father of mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. See, when you learn to be comforted by God in your loneliness, in your circumstances, in your battles, then you're able to pass that same comfort to others who are on the same path. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering, which we also suffered. Now the sufferings here, he's not talking about sickness or disease. Not that the devil won't try to throw that on you. He's talking about attacks and emotional battles, that kind of thing. Lack of finances, lack of help. Verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you'll be partakers of the consolation. Wow, what a message that is. What a gospel message. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even to life. Here's an honest preacher, Paul, saying, we were burdened beyond measure. I mean, in other words, we didn't even have the strength to make it. We gave up. We thought we were going to die. We had no answer. We had no solution. There was no one standing with us. It was us and Jesus, and that's it. So that we despaired even to life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. These are circumstances where the only answer you have is God, that you don't trust my own intellect, my own Mr. Fix-It. I can't trust him to fix it because I won't fix it right. The only answer I have is God, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So here's Paul talking about his trust with God. Walking with God took him to a place of such despair, such circumstances, that we didn't have the strength to even carry it. We had to only rely on God. If God didn't help us, we were going to die. That's the walk that Paul talked about. And unfortunately, in the modern church, we don't see that kind of language in much of the churches. It's starting to spark up. It's so exciting to see the church world all across the world hungering for a deeper experience with God, hungering for more of God. And in that hunger, the enemy will come to try to put it out. And that's why I'm preaching this message, that if you're following God faithfully and praying and worshiping him and spending time with him, and it gets difficult and lonely and even emotional, you're not alone. Jesus is there. He's with you, but more like you're with him. And there's no better place to be than the will of God for your life. And there's others all around the world pressing in just like you. And God's bringing us together because he's after a true, true revival of integrity, of love, of holiness. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read this. And I think we'll title the message today something along the lines of the authority of standing with God. That's an authority, that the devil can't stop you. If he can't make you run by making you lonely or discouraged with hardship, and you won't run, you're standing, that's a victory. That's the victory, just standing. Standing is a position of authority. It's not a position of being passive. Standing is not waiting. I'm just sitting here waiting for God to do something. No, standing is staying where God puts you, no matter what. I always told my kids, if you ever get lost in the woods, if we go hiking in the woods, I want you to stay where you are. Don't go trying to find your way home if you're lost. We'll come find you. I remember when I was a kid, I went wandering to the woods, and I thought I could be like an Indian man and track my way back, and I got lost in the woods. And I remember panicking because it took me about an hour and a half, and I ended up coming across a trail and made my way back. But really, when I first got lost, I was only 100 feet from safety. And so I tell my kids, if you feel like you were out in the woods and you get lost, just stay there and I'll come find you because I know whereabouts you are. If you keep wandering around trying to fix it, you'll get lost worse and worse. And you hear that many times that people get lost in the woods. They keep wandering around and they ended up stumbling or getting further and further away. Well, when God places you somewhere, you want to be there when he comes to find you. You don't want to be somewhere else because you tried to fix the situation. God's really smart. He's smarter than the devil. He's smarter than any circumstances. He knows what the devil's going to do before the devil even thinks about it. God knows how to save you, to get you through things. You're not where you are by accident and not where you are by mistake if you're following God. And that's the lie of the devil and the trick of the devil to say, look at your circumstances. Look how bad it is. Even people around you may say, look at what's going on around you. It's bad. It's bad. That must be a curse. You must have left the hand of God. You're out of the will of God. Well, that's a bunch of garbage from the devil. They're just reciting garbage that the devil's speaking in their ear. The truth is, if you follow God, sometimes all hell breaks loose against you. That there's many times that you're following God, all hell's breaking loose against you, not because you're failing, but because you're doing everything right. And God's answer for you is to stand, to stay where you are and refuse to change course. You don't ever change course, not out of frustration. I've just been praying and praying and nothing's happening. My ministry's not happening. My finances aren't working. Not out of opportunity. Oh, look, this door opened up for me to have what God said I can have. You need to stand in the will of God. Finally, brethren, verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Pastor Dave did an incredible message on the wiles of the devil and how they mean their military tactics. The devil will use psychological warfare on you, military level tactics against you. They, me, little old me, why would he bother me? He needs to go after the big preachers. Why would he even waste his time with you? Because if you're with Jesus, then you're going to be in trouble from the devil. He won't like you. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So what are we standing against by putting on the whole armor of God? We've learned the whole armor of God is holiness. That's a big part of it. How does that help us stand against the military tactics of the devil? Because standing in the will of God means that no matter what tactics the devil throws my way, it does not have the power to stop me. It doesn't have the power to make me quit. Only I hold the power to quit. Only I hold the power to change course. We don't want to be like John Mark and have the ability to stop and say, okay, I'm pulling back. I'm done. I'll come back when it's nicer, when there's less warfare. I quit. That means you are disqualifying yourself to move forward with God. And if you failed before, don't be discouraged. Get back up to praying in tongues and worshiping God, and God will get you back to that place where you'll be able to win in the area that you lost before. God never gives up on you, so don't you give up on yourself, even if you failed many times in the past. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is talking about the different strategies and positions of different demons and devils to stop the revival from taking place. And praise God, if you're listening to me today, you're on a pathway of being a participant of revival. Glory to God. You have this list of principalities and powers lined up to stop you. But they can't stop you because they can't stop Jesus. But if they can get you to give up and quit and be discouraged and look at your circumstances, feel alone, and try to fix it, then you can walk away from the fight. God doesn't want you to walk away from the fight. He wants you to stand in the fight. Standing in the fight is an offensive attack against the enemy, saying, I look at you in the eye and I spit in your face, devil. I will not change course. I will not quit. No matter what you bring against me, I refuse to run. I'm standing where God put me and I'm not moving. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Then he says this, verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? That's when the enemy comes to assault you, to stop you emotionally, financially, health, physically, with friends, all the areas, loved ones. He will attack you from all different ways. What are you supposed to do? To withstand that day? You haven't done all to stand. So you stand. Say it with me. Say, I will stand. Devil, I will stand, I won't run. Verse 14, stand therefore. Now if you read these together, it says something really powerful. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. So then he tells you, how do we stand? See, stand therefore this way. So standing there is not just you being I watched a cartoon joke on this one guy. He was a cartoon. They put him in a boxing match, and he had no strength. He had no power. He would go to hit the other guy, and it'd be like a feather hitting the guy, just barely touch him. But this cartoon character had a great chin where he can take a hit. So they devised a plan. They said, I know how we can win a fight. And they stuck him in the fight, and they said, just stand there and let the other guy hit you. And for 12 rounds, the other guy hit him and hit him and hit him with all his might for 12 rounds. At the end of 12 rounds, they told the cartoon character, now, push him. And because that guy had hit him for 12 rounds, he had no more energy left to fight. And the cartoon character did one of his feather punches, and the guy fell over out of exhaustion. He won the fight. Well, that's not what this means. You're not to be a punching bag for the devil and just take it. Just suck it up and take it. Just suck it up and take it. And that's God's plan for you, to be the devil's punching bag. No, the point of standing means you don't move to fix it. But our fighting, how do we stand? How do we make standing an offensive attack of the devil? He tells us, having done all to stand, stand this way, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. You want to know how to stand the right way? How to have the authority in standing? That's the picture. You grow in holiness. You grow in righteousness. You pray in the Spirit. You develop the image of Christ in you forward to the fruit of the Spirit. And the devil is afraid of Jesus coming forward in you, and he's trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to pick an easier path, a different path. I want to encourage you today. The authority of standing, the devil is afraid of that. He has trained many people who are hungry for God how to change course. And what they've done is the first time you change course, when the devil comes and builds a pocket of struggle and a pocket of battle in your life, and you change course, you've taught yourself and you've proved to the devil, if you ever are afraid of what I'm doing, devil, just make it uncomfortable for me. Just make my emotions, my circumstances unhappy, and I will look for the shiny open door and take it. And the rest of your life, you'll be managed by circumstances, managed by difficulties. But when you stand and say, I will not be moved by the will of God, God's will is where I will always be. And I don't care, devil, how miserable you try to make it, how much you attack me, I will stand because I know I'm standing with Jesus, and I refuse to quit. The way we stand is we press into holiness, we press into growing in God. This is the walk of the Spirit, my friend, pressing into more of God. Let's not quit. Let's not give up. We're on a path. God's not blind to what the enemy's doing. But he needs someone willing to stand there and prove to the devil that Jesus in them is stronger than all the enemies of the world. Jesus in you is stronger than any attack, any battle, any circumstance. You are standing as a warrior, standing as an overcomer. You're not a victim. Keep your chin up. Keep yourself encouraged. We are on a wonderful path heading towards God touching the nations, touching our families, with the pure love and pure power of God. Let's pray. Father, in these moments of battles and struggles, we hold on to the word of God and the promises you've given to us in prophecy, that we're on a path to touching this world, to letting this world meet the real Jesus in all of his power, to heal the sick and raise the dead, to see blind eyes open and crippled walk. Father, we thank you that you've trusted us to walk with you this far. You are standing with us. Even if no one else is, you are standing with us. We're not alone. And we don't see ourselves as victims. We don't see ourselves as heroes. We see ourselves as servants to your gospel. Our life is in your hands. And I thank you that every need we have is met by our Heavenly Father. Every need we face is met by our Heavenly Father. Father, I thank you as well for those who might be lonely, that you begin to bring people around them who are like-hearted and like-minded, who will stand with them and be with them no matter what, as we move forward, to kick the devil in the rear end and to bring revival to our cities, to our homes, to our families. Thank you for your presence, your courage, your strength. I thank you for touching my friend right now with your love, with your grace. Touch him with courage, that they're not weak, they are strong in you, as we stand and refuse to be moved by the storm. Thank you for your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, I love you, and I appreciate you being with me. I'll see you soon.